You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
All right. Welcome back to the show. We got a short one for you today. I got an appointment I got to run to again, man. We get busy up in here, man. Busy. That's how I like it, though. Basically talk about some college football today. It's not much pro football I want to unpack. You know what I mean? Just one of those slights. It's probably going to be about 16-minute episode, something like that. You guys might got to get used to that. You know, I like doing an hour a day, but not all, it was feasible in the schedule there for a couple months. Don't know how feasible it's going to be going forward, but, you know, we'll figure it out. We're running short time, so no intro on the show, no nothing like that. We're going to hop right in. Lane Kiffin spotted at the Baton Rouge Airport. It's always funny to me, man. You look at how different SEC football is. Look no further than the fans that track private flights and then pull up to the airport with a camera ready, trying to find some kind of head coaching candidate like Lane Kiffin. They pull up. They got the time. They tracked the flights. They've tracked the private flights. You probably got people in Baton Rouge looking every day at these private flights, trying to see if they could catch somebody like Lane Kiffin pulling up to the Baton Rouge airport. It's insane. And then to get in the car and go and wait for Coach Kiffin to potentially pull up. He does an interview on McAfee today, does Lane Kiffin, from his office in Oxford. I personally sit here and wonder. I've never been a head coach in the SEC. I sit here and personally wonder how a head coach could manage with his busy schedule all this secretive behavior. How do you make it from Oxford to Baton Rouge on a private flight? How do you do it? And then we're seeing many shows, media personalities, experts in college football that we follow over here at this show saying that they think Lane Kiffin is actually going to leave Oxford and take one of these jobs, Florida or LSU. That's contrary to the take we've shared on this show for some time, and I still feel that way. Lane Kiffin is not going to leave Oxford, Mississippi, unless it's to take the job in Tuscaloosa. He's not going to leave. But now all these experts, these talking heads, these other shows, they're saying, well, I think Lane's going to Florida. Or, well, I think Lane's going to LSU. I've heard both of those today. We're sticking with our guns. I think Lane is as happy as he could be in Oxford. I think Lane could achieve whatever he could achieve in Baton Rouge or Gainesville in Oxford. Hadn't always been that way, by the way. If we were in 2010, this would be a much different conversation. But we're in 2025. And Lane Kiffin has the chance to be a legend in Oxford, to go down as the greatest head ball coach of all time in Oxford, Mississippi. You think about the square in Oxford. You think about the Moe's Barbecue down there. You think about, they don't got the levee down there no more. That's a bar. But you think about the library. You got a library card. I'm biased, man, because I love Oxford. A lot of family roots in Mississippi. And Ole Miss has always felt like a place where I feel like an honorary ex-student. You know, my university's main colors are the same as Ole Miss. The list goes on and on. I won't bore you guys with why my take on this might be biased. But I love Oxford. I can't see Lane after all the time he spent there. This school took a chance on Lane when he was basically radioactive in other coaching searches. And now he's the most sought-after head coach in the land, and it's not even close. I don't think Lane Kiffin leaves Oxford. Not for either of these jobs. But a lot of experts are starting to sway in the way of him going from Oxford. And then you got the rumors that Ole Miss is giving Lane Kiffin an ultimatum that they want to know whether he's coming back or not before the Egg Bowl. So they got Ole Miss has got a bye week coming up this week. And then they play Mississippi State to cap off the regular season in the Egg Bowl. And reports are saying that if Lane Kiffin does not confirm to Ole Miss executives that he is coming back to Oxford before the Egg Bowl, that they would somehow suspend his duties as the head coach when you've got the greatest team in program history at Ole Miss with a 99% chance to head to the college football playoff. It's absolutely absurd. I don't know who's coming up with these rumors. Lane Kiffin, as we mentioned, went on McAfee today and confirmed that all of this ultimatum talk is completely untrue. Now, have head coaches in college football lied before? Yes. Has Lane Kiffin, at times in his career, maybe a different man we're talking about than the man we see today, acted in behavior that may be considered something beneath sleazy? Yes. Remember when he was in Knoxville, Tennessee? The way he left that program? He has operated that way before. But I think that Lane Kiffin is a changed man. I think that Lane Kiffin has learned from those mistakes, and I think that Lane Kiffin absolutely adores Oxford. He raised his children there. His son's the quarterback at Oxford High. He can do anything in this new era of college football that he wants at Ole Miss as he could in Gainesville or Baton Rouge. Now, I'm sure that the LSU Tigers and the Florida Gators are offering some very attractive perks, incentives, because they know that Lane is very happy in Oxford. So obviously, you've got to come with some sauce if you're LSU in Florida, and I'm sure they are. But I do not think, I'm going to stick with my guns as we do on this show, I do not think Lane Kiffin leaves Oxford for anywhere except Tuscaloosa. And that job's not coming open anytime soon. Who knows? They lose to Oklahoma this weekend. Alabama put the ball on the ground 5 times, turned it over 3 times. That was the difference in the Alabama-Oklahoma game. Alabama loses to Oklahoma by 2 points, despite outgaining them 400-plus to 212 on yardage. I listened to that whole game on the radio. I was driving through California, driving through San Diego, listening to that game. And I don't think Lane leaves Oxford for anywhere but Tuscaloosa. That's just me. According to Lane, all rumors about the ultimatum that Ole Miss, everybody's so excited to report that Ole Miss has given Lane Kiffin an ultimatum. He's got to decide whether he's coming back before the end of the regular season. And apparently, according to Lane Kiffin, all of it's untrue. Ole Miss fans are skeptical. I'm seeing on Twitter constantly. Some Ole Miss fan today tweeted that, and it tweeted a picture of Lane Kiffin on McAfee on his TV and said, "I feel like I'm being lied to by President Richard Nixon right now." So Ole Miss fans are skeptical. because nobody knows whether Lane actually means what he's saying or whether he's putting on a front so that his program continues to win and he continues and his program continues to stay in good shape. Obviously, if you're a head coach and you're considering leaving, and your program's succeeding and your program's in a place that it's never been in before, you're not going to go and be truthful necessarily to the media. I understand that. But I'm going to stick with my guns. I do not think that Lane Kiffin leaves Oxford for Baton Rouge or for Gainesville, Florida. And I've been to Gainesville. I haven't been to Baton Rouge. I feel like Baton Rouge would be a place that I would really enjoy with great fans, great people. A lot of my bloodline, you look at my last name, Dupree, a lot of my bloodline comes from that area. So naturally, I'm going to get along with people in Baton Rouge or New Orleans. Don't know about Lane Kiffin, though. Ole Miss has got a 99% chance, per the Josh Pate Show, to make the college football playoff. Lane has not made a decision yet. This is contrary to message board rumors. Multiple jobs are waiting on his answer. This has got to be a pressure cooker situation. A good situation to be in if you're a head coach, nonetheless, sought after, is something we all want to be, regardless of if we're in the head coaching profession or not. He's waiting on an answer. Florida's waiting on an answer. LSU's waiting on an answer. We all know. I know what the answer's going to be. Lane staying in Oxford. People are saying decision will come before the Egg Bowl. And that's what reports have also been saying about Ole Miss expecting an answer before the Egg Bowl. There's no world. There's absolutely no world, guys, where Ole Miss suspends Lane Kiffin's head coaching duties because he hasn't told them explicitly that he's coming back. Come on, guys. This is the greatest season in Ole Miss program history. You're telling me they're just going to blow it all up because of ego? People have done it before. Just don't see it happening. Some people, like I said, some people think Lane leaves, goes to Florida. I think Florida is the last option on the board for Lane. For me, again, and I'm not Lane, so these are all just spins, narratives. For Lane Kiffin, if I'm him, number one is staying at Ole Miss, number two is LSU, number three is Florida. And I don't know what the dealings are behind the table. They might have a bunch of college girls waiting for him at his new home in Gainesville. I don't know. No one will know. But it's just hard for me. It's hard for me to see. And Lane's talking about this being the good old days in Oxford. Lane is literally saying Ole Miss is the good old days now. Is that ironic if he leaves? Is he's telling us something? Lane Kiffin, if you're out there, are you telling us something? I don't think he is. I think he's speaking on why he enjoys being there so much, enjoying what he's built. Naturally, narratives are going to start to spin as Lane Kiffin has success. And this is a narrative that I think we're going to lean into as we continue to get deeper and deeper into college football in the college football season. It's this head coaching carousel where we don't expect it. Obviously, with Lane, we expect it. But coaches like Ryan Day, Kurt Cignetti just signed an extension at Indiana. Coaches like Ryan Day, coaches like Mike Elko just signed a contract extension, so he'll be staying put there. Who else? Kalen DeBoer will probably stay put. Ryan Day is really who I'm talking about here. He's a guy that I think pursues the Cleveland Browns head coaching job if Kevin Stefanski gets fired, like I think he will. But back to Ole Miss. At what point does a coach's indecision become disrespectful to the program paying him? Look, Lane Kiffin has given has given so much to this program. And I'm sure the program's given a lot to him as well. But Ole Miss has got to expect what is happening with the success that Lane Kiffin has established there. And they have to let him make his own decisions on his own time. There are more implications to this than just coaching, than just the amount of money you're making. He's got to move his family. He's got to part ways with a place that he's called home and toiled for many years. Now, this is coaching. I know a lot of guys that entered into this profession with big dreams and big hopes, and they realize the brutality of the profession, the coldness of it, the ruthlessness of being a coach somewhere, whether that's starting as a GA and not making any money and having to spend years working 12, 14-hour days tossing out dirty laundry. I've heard those stories, and I've been around those people that have stuck it out. And then even when you get to the top, like Lane Kiffin, it's still ruthless because you have people speculating on your every move. Life decisions. So is Lane's hesitation about money, prestige, or something else, maybe not enough motivation to move? I think he just understands that this is a huge decision. For me, it would be easy. I would say I'm going to stay with this program that I've toiled at and built up, and we're going to be able to achieve the same things here that we'd be able to achieve anywhere else. And Oxford, Mississippi is a special place, guys. I know a majority of people have probably never been to Oxford. It's worth a trip for a game day weekend. Oxford is a special place, guys. Ole Miss is leveraged. They've given him everything. Why wouldn't he just stay? I don't have an answer to that. Why wouldn't he stay? Perceived prestige in other places. That's the only thing. You're trying to build a legacy bigger than life. That's the only good answer I have for that. Because that is Ole Miss's leverage. And then message boards. Message boards think they know everything about coaching scenarios, but do they? Of course they don't. Okay, you can't listen to 95% of these people talking about this stuff. You might not even be able to listen to me. I'm trying to keep it as real as I can, but I acknowledge on this show and in my personal knowledge that I don't know shit about what's going on behind closed doors, and most people don't. If they try and tell you that they know what's going on or that they got sources, sometimes we say that, they probably have no clue, you guys. They probably have no clue. James Franklin got hired as a head coach at Virginia Tech. A lot of people were saying that he passed up the Arkansas job in order to take the Virginia Tech job, and Arkansas fans are livid that their athletic program is in a state that their SEC football program will be passed over by a school in Blacksburg, Virginia, in the ACC. And I don't blame them. It's the SEC. It's king. Any school in the SEC should take precedent over any other school in any other conference aside from Ohio State, Michigan, USC, I can't think of any other powers right now. And Arkansas's job's getting passed over. That looks like a job that is not everybody's first choice. And I hear a lot of criticism from Arkansas fans about Arkansas's AD, Hunter Yurecek. Apparently the guy doesn't know his ass from the Lombardi Trophy. That's what Arkansas fans say. I'm not involved with Arkansas athletics. I just follow some of their funny fans on Twitter. That's all. And I hear them saying bad things about the AD. So take that as you will. James Franklin, the new head coach for the Virginia Tech Hokies, there was a stipulation in James Franklin's contract with Penn State and his buyout that he must seek out work. And he has no problem doing so. Virginia Tech scoops him up right away after they fired early in the season James Franklin's former linebacker coach at Vandy back in the day, Brent Pry. And I know this because I went to their camps. I was interested in playing for these guys. James Franklin back in 2014, head coach at Vandy, Brent Pry, his linebackers coach. And now James Franklin replaces his former linebacker coach, Brent Pry, as the head coach of Virginia Tech. Arkansas does have a hell of a fan base. I agree. Many battles between Arkansas and my hometown, Kentucky, Wildcats over the years. I remember Randall Cobb playing for Kentucky at quarterback and leading a big comeback against Arkansas in Lexington one year. I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2012 or 11, something like that. A lot of good battles against Arkansas. There's a 7 overtime game between Kentucky and Arkansas, and it was, I believe at the time, could still be the longest college football game in history in terms of duration. I do have to run, guys. I'm so sorry for the short episodes lately. It's just been pretty busy, but I say it's better to hop on here for 20 minutes than to not hop on here at all. And maybe these shorter episodes will be more digestible for you guys. I feel kind of like a superhuman freak being able to crank out an hour of football content on this podcast a day. But what do I know? UK does develop sneaky talent, dude. They've had some really good pros over the years. Just absolutely no trace of contention in the SEC for that championship, or let alone for the national title. Kentucky's football program has always been, on the macro, plagued with mediocrity, but they've had some great pros going back to 2007. Wesley Woodyard, the linebacker, you guys remember him. Danny Trevathan, the linebacker, he was a great talent, played in Denver as a pro for many years. Jacob Tammy, great tight end. Who is that freaking? Corey Peters, the defensive lineman. I could go on and on and on. I mean, you got, and I do have to go, guys, here in a second, but you know, Kentucky's had a lot of good pros over the year. Josh Hines Allen, you know, formerly Black Josh Allen, the edge rusher. They had him over there. Bud Dupree, Za'Darius Smith. Kentucky's had a lot of, I mean, Naylor's got a point there. Kentucky's developed a lot of, they've had a lot of really great pros come through there over the years. Appreciate you, Naylor. Love you too, brother. We're having a tough time in Cincinnati right now, brother. We got to fire Duke Tobin. We got all the Bengals fans arguing on Twitter about what head coach we need to hire next, and I think nothing's going to change until we fire Duke, our de facto GM. That motherfucker pisses me off, dude. And then I saw, I promise I've got to go here in a second, guys, but I'm having too much fun right now. I saw a tweet, Bengals fans. I know Naylor's a Bengals fan. There might be other Bengals fans in the chat here today that might be interested in hearing this, but I saw a tweet today from a guy flying from Cincinnati to Charleston, South Carolina, and who was flying commercial today? It was Katie Blackburn, the owner, the sole owner of a $5.7 billion NFL football team, was flying commercial to Charleston, South Carolina during the week. Any Charleston Bengals fans, you guys see Katie Blackburn in public, make sure to harass her on my behalf. Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't mean that seriously. Owner of a team, you're going to Charleston in the middle of the week amidst a 3-7 disaster of a season where your team was expected to make a Super Bowl run preseason, and you're going to Charleston in the middle of the week as the owner and reported sole decision maker on a lot of fronts for Cincinnati, and she's going to Charleston flying commercial. This family is truly, this ownership family, the Browns and the Blackburns for the Bengals, are truly the cheapest minded people you will find. And I think it kind of matches the overall attitude in my Central Kentucky home and our Cincinnati home. So yeah, I'm pissed. I'm I'm beyond pissed with the Bengals. I'm apathetic. I don't give a shit. I didn't watch the game on Sunday. I'm not going to watch another game all season. I might watch if Joe Burrow returns just to be disappointed again. But I'm over it. I'm done. I'm going to watch my former employer, the Indianapolis Colts, an actual football organization with an owner who is a product of nepotism, but chooses to actually show up and work and not hide from the media and hold herself and others accountable. That's a real organization over there. And I can speak to that on the Indianapolis Colts because I was in that building for a year every day. That's a real organization, a pleasure to work there. I can't say the same about the Bengals. I interviewed with the Bengals and I didn't get the job there. I feel like I was probably too hard-nosed for them, too gritty for them. You know, and I'm happy I didn't get the job because working for that organization, especially in a measly ticket sales role, probably would have been hellish. You got to face the fans in roles like that in as a season ticket executive or a membership executive working in the NFL. The decisions of ownership, you face accountability for. And that's the toxic dark side of pro sports. I couldn't imagine working for the Bengals or selling for the Bengals right now. I hope that those seats are empty for the rest of time until they make a meaningful change in Cincinnati. This is for the betterment of the city. This is not me being a hater. This is not me preying on the downfall of a team that has caused me so much emotional pain and many others emotional pain and financial over the years. This is for the greater good of the city of Cincinnati. We have to boycott this organization. We have to hit them where it hurts and not sit down in these seats anymore. Now, they'll still get the league revenue share, these complacent-ass, disgusting, nepotistic group of owners for the Cincinnati Bengals. So they might still not change even with empty seats. But I remember when they finally fired Marvin. I think they parted ways with Marvin. It was because they stopped filling seats. So let's hit them where it hurts. All right. I love you guys. Appreciate Naylor. Big fan of the show. Thanks for popping in, guys. Shout out to Waylon Mick. He just popped in. We are wrapping up today. I've got an appointment to run to. Make sure if you just pop in that you go to the channel, you watch the replay of today's short show. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Amazon Music, literally anywhere, and get this podcast, Audible, literally anywhere. And make sure you subscribe, because if the algorithm brought you here, you probably like football. And if you like football, you're going to love our channel. And we're here live every single day, Monday through Friday, 6-ish Eastern. I know we're early today. That's because I got an appointment. I wouldn't have been able to show up here at any other time. So I love you guys. I love spending time with you guys. I think Indy's a good team. They got a great offensive line. They dominate the line of scrimmage. They tackle. They play defense. And they got some accountability in that building, which is more than the Bengals can say. Okay, guys, I really do have to run. I love you. I appreciate you. We will see you guys back here tomorrow. I don't want to get your hopes up, but maybe we'll have time for a Madden stream later. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Subscribe to the channel. Helps us out a lot. I want to hire a production team, and in order to do that, we got to make some revenue from this channel. And in order to make revenue from this channel, I need you guys to subscribe. Hit that like button, bare minimum. And if you don't do any of that, don't let the dough hit your ass on the way out. You know what I'm saying? Go on, get out. Get on out of there. You know what I'm saying? Love you guys. I got to go. Make sure and subscribe. Thank you. We will see you tomorrow. I love you guys. Thanks for blowing up the chat today. Oh, suck that dick. I just bleeped the tiger part and said the bad word part. Suck that tiger. You know what, bitch. All right, see you guys.